Every day on the way to school, me and my dad listen to two podcasts. And today, we got to interview the host of one of them. Today, we got to interview Zach from Makeshift Project, who's one of the most viral creators on all social media. In this episode, we got to play a really cool game with them and see how they come up with all their ideas for their videos. Zach shared the story of getting 1 million followers and the business behind their channel. If you're someone who's interested in social media and becoming a creator, this is the episode for you. Can't wait for you to check out this episode of The Brolettes.
Guys, before we jump into today's episode, I got to tell you about our new sponsor. It is Stinger Sports. Guys, I got to tell you what I love about these guys. So first, I met Brandon, the founder of Stinger, through a mutual friend. We had him on the podcast, one of my favorite episodes. Make sure that you go and check it out. But we've developed not only a bit of a friendship, but now a partnership where we want to introduce everyone on the world to Stinger Sports because they make incredible athletic gear at an affordable price. And this is what I really love, because if you're a parent, you know how expensive gear is getting, how expensive uniforms are getting. And these guys make affordable stuff that is pro level quality. Right now, Colt is using one of their gloves. I mean, this thing is sick. Look how customized that is. And he's using this in 13U baseball right now, which is amazing. And then we also brought them on as a uniform sponsor. Look at these custom Stinger Sports Brolette jerseys. How cool are these? And the best thing, A, they're not just for baseball. So baseball, soccer, volleyball, whatever that you need, they can equip you. But on the baseball side specifically, what I love is they will equip you with fully customizable jerseys, but also the pants, the hats. They will also get you the ancillary stuff like batting gloves or team backpacks or anything that you need. And they have packages that make it affordable for any family. Guys, you got to check out Stinger Sports. I will put the link in the description. Check these guys out. Make sure you tell them that the Brolettes sent you. And please, please, please support our sponsors here. Check out what they're doing. Big fans of Stinger Sports. Now, let's jump into this week's episode. All right, so we picked out five of your biggest guests that you've had on the podcast, and I have their Instagram followers. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to guess how many nights they would sell out MetLife Stadium, which holds 82,500 people. So you're basically guessing their follower count and then how many of those followers would fill up MetLife Stadium. So for example, you guys have 1.1 million followers on Instagram and you would sell out MetLife for 13 nights, which is kind of crazy. Think about it. Like, you know, makeshift fans, 13 nights in a row.
You're going to make me do math. This is going to be tough. I'm not known for my mental math, but listen, I'm going to try my best.
Early in the morning too, which is fun. So, all right, take it away.
Yep. The first one's Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio has to have multi-million followers. I would assume, just because the WWE is like so much more popular than I remember it being. I would say he sells it out, I'm going to say around like 4 million followers. So that would be 80,000. Let's just round it to 100,000. 25 times. It's just a random guess.
It's a good guess. So your followers are close. 4.9 million followers, which is insane for a wrestler. 59 nights at MetLife.
59. That's like, okay, where was my math off? Like, how did I?
2 months. Next one.
The next one is John Taffer.
John Taffer. Actually, we're having him back on the podcast on Friday. We're recording, so I'm excited for that. I should know his social following because we're having him again as a guest. But I don't. I want to say Taffer is probably around 800,000. Like that feels right to me. I know he's been in the industry a long time. Bar Rescue, awesome show. So that would be like 10 times, right? So 80,000 to 800, 10 times. I'm trying to do the math, guys. I'm trying.
Yeah, it's tough math in the morning. So about half the followers. So on this is just Instagram, right? So 428,000 on Instagram, which would be 5 nights. So your math was right. Just your follower count is off. So
that one was easy because the eights line up, you know, that one's a little simpler.
Fluffy.
Oh, my God. Gabriel Iglesias has to have, I want to guess, close to 8 million followers. Oh, man. He was such a treat. He was so nice. He brought us to Jay Leno's garage and everything. And it was just like such a surprise and a great time out there. So if that's 8 million, I'm sticking with it. That would be like 100 times. I'm trying to make the math simple. I think I might be doing that to myself.
You're doing the math right. You're over-indexing on the followers. So 4.8 million, 57 nights, which is still a lot of nights that Fluffy could fill it up.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon combined.
Oh, them two combined. Okay, this is in a realm that I can't even imagine. I'm going to ballpark them around 30, 35 million total. That could be way off. It could be very accurate. Who knows? And that would put us at half the amount. Would it be like 1,000 times? Do I sound dumb? Like, I don't, I'm trying to figure it out. Let's go 500. 500 times.
Before you do too much math, that was a trick question because neither one of them have Instagram. They both deleted their accounts and they have no followers. So we threw the trick question in there. You got to have one trick question.
You know what? I remember trying to tag them and I couldn't find an account to tag. So that checks out.
All right, last one.
Adam Sandler.
Sandler's got to be around like 40 million. I would imagine maybe like 90 million. Like no one knows. I'm going to stick with the guest I said for Damon and Sandler. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
And I'm like, I'm the guy who comes up with these types of lists to be able to guess, like who has more Instagram followers. I still can't remember. I'm going to say like 500 times. That's a random guess. The followers, I don't fully know.
Great guess. 25.3 million, 304 nights. The dude could almost sell out MetLife for a year with his Instagram followers, which is insane.
I love the topic, creating a different twist on the Instagram followers. Listen, you guys are doing it right. Appreciate it.
Love that. Leads into the first question.
All right. So how do we do? You guys are the king of topics, lists, and games. So how was our little kickoff to the show?
I thought it was great. I mean, it's always trying to find, because like there's only so many guessing games and ways to like format games, right? So if you could find any twist or any pull that you could like pull a lever here or change things there, to make it your own and twist it to be your own. Like, I've never heard that question before. So it was a great kickoff to the show. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to answer your questions and hopefully be an entertaining podcast guest for you guys.
I love that. Kind of a follow-up to that is, like, I think something that you guys do really well, like yesterday you said the Super Bowl, you had Flavor Flav and you like asked him about his favorite flavor, right? And played a game. And so like with ours, like we were like, all right, these guys are from Jersey. Like, let's talk about MetLife. Let's talk about some of their, like, making it about you. I think you guys do a really good job of that and making the guests like playing games that like that are fun for the guests, right? So like, how do you guys think about that and like relating games to the guests?
Yeah, it's funny. The Flavor Flav one specifically, like we're kind of burnt out from the week because I was towards the end of the week for Super Bowl while we were out there and you kind of run out of topics or you get kind of this writer's block. And then like, you just got to bring it back to the basics sometimes. You're like, all right, like what's Flavor Flav known for? And then we said that out loud and then you're like, oh, flavor. I'm like, we do this King of the Hill format. I'm like, what's the greatest flavor of all time? Would it be fun to ask him? And like, you put it in a game type format that people hopefully enjoy and get to watch till the end of the video to find out his favorite flavor. And we're like, how did he never get asked that question before? So like stuff like that. And like with Sandler and like we've interviewed Kevin Hart a few times, like it usually helps if you have one little tiny thing to base it off of. So like for Happy Gilmore too, like obviously we're going to ask a golf question. Kevin Hart's comedy special about his age. You know, how old to do these things, trying to figure out and cater it to what they're trying to promote, but also, you know, something that they're known for and people know them for. It's a process. You kind of throw ideas at the wall, see what sticks. And there's no bad idea when you're brainstorming ideas for either guests or people coming on the show. And, you know, after four bad ideas, you finally get a good one. And then, you know, you could ask them and translate it into a video that hopefully does really well on platform. So
let's reveal the secret sauce right from the jump. How do you guys come up with your topics and ideas? Do you research what's trending or things that have high search volume? Or do you sit around and brainstorm ideas together?
Yeah, so we do it completely separate. Like unless we have a guest that's coming on, we try and be more particular with how we cater our approach. But I do it separate. Brian does it separate. Then we come together and just basically dump topics onto each other. And the way I do my ideation, and I can't fully speak for Brian, is like, I'll scroll Instagram, I'll scroll social, like, I'll see what's going on, what's hot. Like, are people talking about money? Are people talking about movies? It's the Marvel universe popping right now. I'm trying to cater my topics towards that. My little secret is if I see like a picture post on Instagram as I'm scrolling that reveals information and I could turn that into a video version of that already successful post, it's an easy conversion. You know it's going to get high engagement because people are interested in those facts. Versus me pulling a post with 100 likes on it. It's like, yeah, let me take the one that has 100,000 likes on this account. It's a good piece of information. And let me put the video version, our reaction to that information in a video format. And for us, that's worked over the past like year or so. Before that, it was a lot more trying to come off like off the dome. But like I said, you hit writer's block sometimes and you need some inspiration. So you look at what's popping, what's on social media. Is there a trend that we could pick up on? And deliver the video version of the format of whatever topic or idea that is.
How much do you guys care about like the numbers? Because A, we're going to talk about this later, but like you're filming two podcasts a week. Now you guys are doing the you know, the IRL stuff. Like, but are you sitting there being like, all right, that hook did really well or that short did really well? Like, let's have, like, are you looking really into the numbers or is it more just feel and just volume? Because you know that, all right, we're going to put out X number of shorts this week. X amount of them are going to hit. Y are going to be okay. Like, how much do you care about the data analytics at this point?
Yeah, I think it fluctuates and it depends. Like, I feel like definitely earlier on, I was much more paying attention to the numbers, as in like, it was like affecting my mood a little bit. Like you watch, like you hit the mountain peak and then you hit a little lull, and like, that's just the nature of the platforms and then pushing you. And maybe they're not sending you to the right audience at that time, but that algorithm's trying to figure out, is your content the perfect content for other people? So like, you know, you hit mountain peaks, you hit the valleys, and like, I was watching that a lot and letting it kind of affect my approach. And, you know, really get into the cadence of like, hey, like, what can I deliver that'll be the most successful? And like, what do people want to see, et cetera? I've kind of shifted more so into the format of like, I don't pay attention to the peaks and lulls. Like, we're going to hit that top of the mountain at one point and we're going to have a lull, you know, whether it's a year lull, whether it's a few months, it doesn't really matter to me as much. I want to be proud of the content that we're putting out. So like, as long as I'm proud of, like, the Flavor Flav video, I thought it was a great idea. I thought it would hit across all platforms. It like wasn't as well performing as some of the other stuff that we've done, but like, I'm proud of that video. Like that yeah. question, that mm-hmm. format, no one's ever really asked in that. Like, I was proud to put that out, and it sucks to see it flop on like one platform and do decently on another. And it will serve for kind of inspiration for what we do in the future. But I'm kind of getting more into the realm of like, I want to create content that I'm proud of, versus like satisfying a broader audience. And that comes with success of the channel. Obviously you build the followers and stuff and you might be more catered towards the audience earlier on, but I'm creating stuff and being able to do content that we're proud of and that we want to put out. And it could be eating hot dogs at a baseball stadium and trying to eat over 11 and a half or whatever the line I set for that one video was. Like, that's the fun stuff. So if we're having fun doing it and we're delivering content we're proud of, like, that's the success metric for me right now.
Take us back to the start of Makeshift. It looks like you guys started with shorts and got over to 100,000 followers on TikTok before starting the podcast. You even bought a banner for the show. Tell us your startup story.
Oh my God, the banner. It's that banner is the reason why we have the Makeshift project today. I just want you to know that.
He guilt tripped you with the banner.
I have like a screenshot of the text on my, I think, other laptop, or I might be able to find on my phone, but like, essentially, Brian and I were doing different things for a long time. I was trying to do a golf page channel. He was trying to sell t-shirts, do trick shots in his garage on TikTok. COVID kind of stalled all that stuff. So a year into it, January 2021, we got to this point where it's like, hey, like, why don't we do something together, right? Like we're always trying to do separate, support each other regardless, but like, let's like do a show together. Brian did it for a job with the New York Giants and then eventually went on to work with Overtime Sports. He's like, I'm doing this for other people. I could do it for us. So being able to try and like figure out what concept to do, he had an idea and a vision and he texts me and goes, hey, what happened? We recorded one episode, a month passed, nothing happened for me. He goes, what happened? I go, I don't know, dude, I'm just trying to focus on different things. I'm trying to do different stuff. Like, I'm trying to create, you know, music with my friends and trying to support my friend as an artist out in LA. Like, I'm trying to, you know, create a side business doing this. And I always had like a scatterbrain mind. And, so I said, no. And he goes, I'll see you at the top then. When he does it on his own. And I was like, huh. And I sat for like 4 hours and then I texted him and was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. I'm like, I want to support you. And like, even if it's not something I'm fully a part of, like, I want to support your journey in this. Like, that could be the negotiation. And then first video popped off. I was like, oh, I guess we got to keep doing this. And then like a month later or a few weeks later, we formed an LLC around it because we knew that would monetize eventually. And then 5 years later, after innovating each series, coming out with new trends, you know, the top 10 format came out, the blind rankings came out, and those are like staple series for us. We're now here, right? And, you know, I'm doing it full time for like 2 years, and it's just really a lot of navigating and changing your way of the approach and adjusting to the social media landscape, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't. And, you know, it's unbelievable that I got to leave my corporate job working behind a desk doing organizational change management work. And now I get to do this every day. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. I never expected to see myself here, but, you know, doing it with a friend like Brian, it's been, you know, super easy to integrate and work with, and getting into business with your best friend could be great. And other people have horror stories, but it's been only great for me. So.
What was like your breakout moment or the moment where you knew you had something more than just two friends creating content on the internet?
Yeah. So there's two answers to that question. The first one is like, we posted our first video, got like 60,000 views. And then our second one got 600,000 on TikTok. And I got a buddy out in LA, shout out Tiago. He called me because he knew I was always trying different things. And he goes, dude, I think you found your thing. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I feel like this is like the first like glimpse of, I have a road in the future doing this. And I'll never forget that phone call. I'll never forget where I was in an apartment in Mattawan with my parents. But that was a point where I was like, okay, like maybe we have an opportunity to do more. And then like the made it moment where you're like, I can't believe I'm sitting here and doing this. Like, this doesn't make any sense, is the interview with Adam Sandler. It's like, you could be two best friends talking in a basement, doing whatever you want, like having fun and joking around and build a following. Like, great. But like, that's like the peak and the pinnacle. Like that was our dream podcast guest. We got him on for 10 minutes and we're able to promote Happy Gilmore too. Like, I never imagined that happening. And you know, what's funny is that Brian was a little nervous going into that. And I wasn't at all. Like, I sat down there. I was like, I know he's going to be a cool guy. Like, I get much more nervous meeting like Joey Chestnut than Adam Sandler for some reason. I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. But you know, like, I don't know. It just felt like a moment where you're like sitting there and you have all the cameras and the full production with Netflix there. And you're like, wow, like we're legit media. Like we're being asked to do something to help promote and they're going to give us the talent to do so. And, you know, it just felt a little different that time. And, you know, ever since it's been pretty crazy.
We asked all our athletes about their draft day story. We thought it'd be cool to hear about your million subscriber story. What did you guys do when you hit 1 million subs on YouTube?
This one's a funny one too. These are good questions. I appreciate the questions. So my girlfriend at the time, we live in Connecticut together now. I commute down to Jersey, but she was in her apartment in Jersey City and I was with her. And I was like, I need to watch like the countdown and the ticks to hit 1 million. And Brian, I think, was at home, or it might've been in his hometown home or an apartment, whatever it was. And we're sitting there and we're like live streaming and we're on YouTube and we had a bottle of champagne. And I shake it up. I don't know if I shook it up. I just tried popping it. And I was like, once we hit that million, and it was, I remember just waiting for like hours. And like, you didn't know how fast you actually gain followers and like how fast you do whatever. But I was around like midnight and I popped the champagne. Cork hits the ceiling. I have this on video too, so I'll send you guys the link. Hits the ceiling and I go, whoa. And then all of a sudden the champagne just starts going everywhere and overflows onto me and everything. And I'm like, oh, like you start flipping out. And yeah, I got to celebrate with my girlfriend that night, being there in person, and Brian, you know, virtually on the live stream with me. And, you know, it's a memorable moment for something that like could have felt like a lot bigger. Like, you see Kai Snod and these other streamers do like these big reveals and stuff and have like a big party. But it was cool to have like an intimate moment there with my girlfriend while Brian was also on FaceTime, feeling like we're all in the room together celebrating. And, you know, I don't know if I have much more to say about it because that was pretty much it. It was like hit 1 million. I'm like, I want 2 million, like, let's go. But, but you take a moment to reflect and like, you look back, you're like, I never thought that would have been possible. But it wound up happening. So
let's get into the actual process of how you guys do it all. You're now creating two podcasts a week, a long form and tons of short form. Talk us through how you guys plan out and shoot everything in the given week.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that we do that. I don't know how we do it. You might see some changes soon. That's a little hint, but only for the better. But the two podcasts a week, like, I edit the long form podcast. I have a podcast to edit today. It's Wednesday. It comes out tomorrow on Thursday. I'm going to spend my day doing that for the most part. I handle a lot of the business side of things, but from a creative, if you talk to me or you gave me a fun fact today and I was like, hey, like that sounds interesting, or like that would make a good video, like I'd write it down on my phone. And then, you know, as the week progresses, that full list comes out where I got Instagram links of ideas. I got people's conversations that I've had. I have new games and like, you know, more experimental stuff that we want to try to see if that hits. Those are all just listed down on my phone every week. I transfer over the extra topics the following week. So we kind of have a funnel of content coming. And I think Brian does the same thing. So it's really just prepping for that. And being prepared every Monday to come film. We film for like four and a half hours between all of our pages, golf, Blitz, Hoops, our main channel. I'm forgetting one. I think Blitz. But it's a long process. It's a lot, but we do that once a week, like 4 hours, like I said. And then Brian comes up with topics I do. And then he edits, or Brian used to edit most of the short form. We outsourced to an editor, our buddy out in Scotland, that reached out as a fan. And we love Liam. Shout out, Liam. But he edits up for us out there. Brian does some short form. I do some short form here and there. And then everything in between, you know, it's a grind to figure out. I mean, people think like makeshift project. They might think it's like a big team. And it's like, no, like we are makeshift. Like there's like six of us and we're all on screen talent. And then plus like one editor. So trying to figure out and balance that and having those individual people edit for their channels too. It's kind of the vibe that we go for.
Are you now creating all your short form from the long form, or do you ever film strictly for short form?
So that's part of the process that I knew I was missing something. I was like, I'm missing something in the process here. But part of that is that we film, like, I'll just run you through the Monday recording. Like, we'll film our podcast for that Thursday. We'll film the second podcast for the following Monday. When we get to that point, we're like, all right, like maybe 50% of the podcast clips will get clipped up and posted. We film a separate game time session that's like an hour and a half long of all these short form games. And like any advice to creators that I have or people who aspire to be creators, like film in bulk, like get those 10 topics, 10 videos out at one event or one recording session. This way you have content. So like we come up and leave that recording session where we have like 40 videos that we could post from the main channel. And then we're posting like six times a day most days, which is just ridiculous. Like it's, I don't know people who do the quality and quantity that we do because not a lot of people film in bulk or they're only chopping up the podcast. So we try and film like that session so that we have like those direct games and like we could experiment and do the top 10 list, the blind rankings. And then the podcast can be a little more conversational and, you know, add these segments in between while still introducing these kind of headlines that can be translated to short form content.
Why do you think your shorts blew up like they did? And why do you think they continue to get the views and audience that they get every day?
The simple answer is I have no idea. No. I do think Brian having the expertise in video editing and production and being able to kind of produce a piece of content that's fast moving, no dead air. And I think the quality edit paired with our friendship for 20 plus years really shows on camera. And like I said it before or during the interview, I don't remember, but like I'm always going to be my authentic 100% self. And if that means making fun of Brian or Brian's making fun of me and we're laughing together and having fun, like what you see in the basement is what you see in person. And that's the type of person that I am. I'm always going to be that way. Sometimes it could hurt you because it could be too authentic, but like, but you know, I think for the most part, it's a positive. And just showing that friendship on screen and people relating to that and wanting to be a part of the conversation. And, you know, whether it's in the comment section, whether it's DMing us or it could be anything, people feel like they're hanging out with us. And I feel like a lot of people aspire to do that. One of the goals that I have, and this keeps me motivated and going, is like, there could be so much political stuff. There could be stuff in the news, like, we have a platform to be able to touch on things like that, but like it does, that's not our goal. Like my goal is to be the escape from that. Like, hey, you had a rough day at work, or you're having a tough day, or maybe you struck out to end your baseball game and you didn't win, and you know it was very sad. But you could escape to us for like a little bit of happiness. That might have been a personal story. I struck out Cooperstown. It's okay. No, walk off home run. That's what it was.
That's what we'll say.
But we want to be the escape for those people.
I love that. I want to talk about, this is something that we talk about a lot, and I think your show is a good example of it, is your show is about you guys, you and Brian, and then you bring guests on and they're kind of in your world versus like where we started the podcast. We started it with just, it's all guest driven, right? So it's guests, we interview the guests, we talk to them. How do you guys think about that, right? Of just like, all right, we're makeshift, right? Zach and Brian, and then we bring guests into our world versus like, you know, if you have an Adam Sandler on, you're going to get some lift from that. Or Kevin Hart, you're going to get a lift from that. And like, how do you guys think about you guys and then guests as a strategy?
It's funny because when we first started bringing guests on, it was a little bit like shaky, right? People were like, oh, well, like low key, the podcast is better with just Brian and Zach, which like I don't disagree with necessarily, or I don't agree with. Like, I don't know where I stand on it, but I think it's just different. So it's like, that's part of the reason why we started doing two podcasts a week. It's like, if we have a guest, we want to still give people Brian and Zach in the basement, right? Like that's where it started. That's who we are. And like, that's the reason why people watch us. But bringing people into our world like that gives that celebrity kind of like a perspective of, hey, like this guy's a normal dude, or this, the, you know, this wrestler, Rey Mysterio, like is there hanging out, ranking stuff the same way Brian and Zach do. I think it translates more to short form, which is like obviously what we're known for, but doing it in the podcast world and like the long form content, like it could be interesting to have those conversations. That does help, you know, kind of boost and elevate the podcast. So being able to say you worked with certain people is great, and it helps leverage you for the next one. But overall, it's like I'm most excited to make that person a normal person. I'm like, they're an actor, they're on television or whatever it is, they're an athlete. I'm like, that person's a normal person for 45 minutes when they sit down with us. And that's one of the most fun parts.
It's a great goal. Mm-hmm.
What's the strategy with the other channels?
Yeah, I think what we found, at least from a business side of things, is that these channels, or our main channel, is like very broad. So like it works for partnerships and brands when you have like we work with Philips Norelco a few times. I like shaved my head, like, cool, I'm bald, like whatever. like that works because it's more general and like we're kind of sports adjacent slash entertainment, pop culture, whatever. I wanted to be able to leverage and build a business that wasn't so reliant on just one channel and like get more catered partnerships to whatever topic we're talking about. So like if we're on a hoops topic, like I would love to work more with the NBA, but like, does the NBA want to work with the Makeshift Project if they only talk about basketball 5% of the time? Mm-hmm. Probably not. But hey, now they have a channel where they talk about basketball all the time. So it kind of, you know, allows us to have a few different options in terms of the types of partnerships and brands we reach out to. And then like, you know, getting friends involved, building the team, you know, reaching more people, building the brand. That's always been the goal. So if someone doesn't want to watch a podcast and they want to watch us out on the golf course 50% of the time in our videos, like people want to see that. So it builds us kind of holistically as a brand, but then also individually where you get to see more of us. And like, I'm not an expert in NBA or, you know, certain topics like I was back when I had the games like 2K and Madden, but like, you know, I know enough that I have an opinion and, you know, whether people agree with that or not, it's very relatable.
Makes a lot of sense.
In a perfect world, what is your ideal creator slash media business look like? How are you making money? Is it always through sponsors and partners? Or do you have products, events, and other things to help you make a living talking to your best friend a few times a week?
Yeah, I'll do this in like different tiers. So it's like platform revenue is one thing, and that's like YouTube, TikTok, they pay us, whatever. That used to be kind of the main driver. You move on to sponsorships, and that's slowly creeping up to catch up with platform revenue. And I'm excited about that because, you know, it does alleviate that like view watching where you're like, hey, I want to post content I'm proud of versus like trying to track and get my paycheck. And then like when you go beyond that, like we're talking with companies, we're trying to figure out like a physical product or something that we could put out there, whether it's our own merchandise, whether it's something, you know, that we can we build a factory in like a warehouse and have a basketball hoop, a mini golf like course, like a putting green, a chipping, like whatever it is. We're looking at like physical, tangible things as well. And me coming from the corporate background, from a business mindset, I think I am trying to like always see what's next for us versus Brian's like just having fun doing the podcast and like is obviously interested in this stuff. And like, I don't want to knock him down for it, but like he's aligned with it, but not always thinking about it. So I think we kind of work like yin and yang where it's like, he's more of the creative probably. And I'm more of the like business oriented mindset. And that's part of the reason why it works. And like, do I want to be a mini bar stool? Like, yeah, kind of. Do I want to be a House of Highlights? Do I want to be John Boy Media? Kind of. But, you know, we're taking baby steps and you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves and move too fast. So it's always what's next. And then you end up, you know, chasing a North Star eventually.
Always.
If you had an unlimited budget to grow your business, what would you spend it on?
I want that fantasy factory like warehouse. I think like make it a content haven, build a podcast studio, build the basketball court, build like literally what Dude Perfect has. And I feel like that would be something that, you know, like we've always dreamed about, like that's the goal. You know, how does it make money? How does it generate more for us? Do you get a sponsor to pay for it? I don't know. But like having those conversations, trying to figure that out and you know, it would just be so cool. Like I see John Boy Media do the warehouse games and it's not Fantasy Factory for like,
yeah, you love that, right?
It's not Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory. Like it's not the same thing, but it's a warehouse where they're able to, you know, be themselves and play those backyard sports. It's like, if we could do something similar to that. That's definitely where I would probably go.
Love that. That's our same answer, right? Is that factory. He's got a buddy who's on his baseball team, his dad, Coach Rusty, he's in like the golf trick shot space. And
oh yeah.
He's got, you know, it's not huge. It's, you know, 2,000 square feet, but he's doing trick shots in there. He's doing his paintings in there. And it's just like his place where he can be creative and do whatever he wants. And, but it's helped the content grow tenfold because you have the dedicated space to it. And I think that's just...
He posted a trick shot where he swung a golf club, swung it around and caught the ping pong ball off the wall in the cup. I tried that. It was my most successful video because I got it when it was during COVID before makeshift. And I have that one too. It's on my page, my old golf page. But yeah, it's like people like that, like take the opportunity, take the risk, like go get that space and film stuff. And, you know, Coach Rusty's awesome. I'm familiar with this work.
Yeah, great dude. All right, we're going to finish this up with some rapid fire questions. So just first thing that comes to the mind and we'll have a little fun with it.
Who's your dream golf foursome with you guys taking up two of the spots?
Okay, Tiger Woods, because I feel like how do you not play with Tiger Woods? And then I think it would be Adam Sandler. Like get a jokester out on the course, and that's the first one that popped to mind.
I think that makes it like you got the serious best golfer of all time, and then you got somebody who's going to lighten the mood when, you know, Tiger's mad about a shot that he shanked, you know?
Exactly.
What is the best piece of advice you've gotten to help grow your channel?
I think it's consistency and like continue to innovate. Like if you could answer the question, I'm the blank who does blank. Like we're the guys who play guessing games. Insane Shane's the best mouth on the internet. Like Jumo's the girl who makes pizza. If you could figure that out for yourself and fill that sentence out, innovate and be consistent during it. Like those are just the three things you need. I tell that to everyone.
What is the coolest thing you've gotten to do because of content?
I got to go on a 6-day golf trip to Ireland. And I got to play with Chaz and Bev Boys Golf, which is Nick Bonilla. And that trip was just insane. We went out with Shipsticks. One of the most fun things I did. To couple that, I went to Saudi Arabia, which I never thought I would go to for a UFC event and Power Slap. I got sick while there. Like I was not well, but like I didn't hold myself out from any of the activities because it was so much fun. It was just so different, such a different world out there.
What's your favorite book or podcast?
Favorite book is, I haven't read a book in a really long time. It's probably not a good example. I read a golf book. I'm trying to remember the name of it. It's not like the Five Fundamentals of Golf or something like that. The Art of Scoring. That's what it is. That's the last book I've read and it's been quite some time. But listen, audiobooks, I've done a few, but that one specifically for golf. And then what was the other question? Podcast?
Yeah.
I don't listen to a ton of podcasts, but like if I were to say one individual one, like I used to listen to KFC Radio, the Bill Burr Monday Morning Podcast I used to listen to, both kind of, you know, on the comedic side of things. And then outside of that, I don't think I really listen to much. I mean, the occasional Joe Rogan clip when one of those two guys is on the podcast. but I watch the clip versus like the long form or like if he has an interesting guest that I want to hear from.
If you had to beat Brian in a WWE tag team match, who you pick as your tag team partner?
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's a great question. I'm going to say one of the guests that you mentioned earlier, Rey Mysterio. Like how do you go against someone that you had on the podcast? I feel like, you know, he had a fun time and he's a high flyer. I got to watch him do a 619 live. It was so sick. I've always wanted to see that. So I would pick him. I feel like it makes sense being a wrestler himself.
Nice.
Who's a dream podcast guest?
Well, it was Sandler. If we were to have someone additional on, oof. My mind went to like a president because like, I don't know. It would be like cool to like interview like the most important job in the country. But I don't think I would want to go that route. It'd have to be something more silly. I think it would be like a comedian, like someone in that, like Will Ferrell. Like we could get Will Ferrell, like Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler were like the top two for me. Right. So like having them both be on podcasts or and be guests at different times, like we got Sandler, you know, let's get Will Ferrell. That'd be good.
What's the next big goal for you guys in your business?
I think it's just continue to grow the sub channels, and expand. It's grow the following, get more viewership. I think for us from a content side of things, like we're trying to make it out of the studio and become more of creators versus like just podcast host. And I think if we're able to do that, then you're going to see Makeshift kind of blow up in the next few years. And I'm like, I'm confident in that. I feel like this blind ranking in real life series that we have on YouTube has been a big hit. And people are like, just happy that we're outside the studio and you get to see more Brian and Zach and their friendship. And you know, we're not the best food review people, but, you know, we have an opinion. It's the same way I said before. I was like with the NBA. So I'm really excited for that and continuing to expand in content, get a little bit more into long form content on the sub channels, too. And, you know, kind of see where it takes us.
Love that, man. Zach, thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning. This was a blast, and we'll make sure we do all the linking up and all that fun stuff to you guys, and can't wait to see where the channel goes.
Colts got to get to school. I can't. People go to school at 9:37. I feel like I was waking up at like 7 a.m. when I used to go to school.
It's crazy. So he starts at like 9:30, but he's in homeroom till 10. So like we do these interviews with like people in the morning, and he just shows up 10 minutes late. And I'm just like, you have the life. Like you have the greatest life of all time. You play baseball and interview people all day. So
yeah, I really don't know if I'm like it's been so long, but like I genuinely feel like I was waking up at like 6:30 to go to school.
Well, high school starts at like 7:15, but middle school he starts at 9:30. It's insane.
That's unbelievable. Well, enjoy it. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Jack.